Now we continue with our studies regarding the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was born at Bethlehem. I want to read to you some verses from the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 2. These verses are giving to us the record of what happened when the wise men visited Bethlehem to see the one who was born the king. Reading then from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of the Scriptures. Shall we pray? Our Father, very humbly we bow our hearts in thy holy presence, thanking thee for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We praise thee this morning that we can come right into thine immediate presence and speak to thee as children who would speak to a father. And we ask thee that in mercy thou wilt look down upon all thy children today, and may thy blessing be their portion, no matter what the circumstances may be in life, and grant as they listen to the word now to be spoken, may it reach their hearts, may it bring a blessing to them, and grant, O God, that our appreciation for the Lord Jesus shall be enhanced. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. Now, in directing your attention to this particular passage of Scripture, I want to suggest to you that right here in Matthew chapter 2, there are quite a number of things that you could study. Number one, you could spend time studying things pertaining to the wisdom of the wise men. What made them wise? Then, as you travel down through the passage, you will be impressed with what I call the worthlessness of lifeless theologians. And then, when you notice the actions of Herod, you will be impressed with the wickedness of Herod, the enemy. And then, following his wickedness and the slaying of the children, there is the weeping of the mothers for their children. And then, another important truth in this chapter, you will find to be the warnings of God to the wise men and also to Joseph. But we are more interested at this present time in studying something relative to the wisdom of the wise men. I suggest to all my listeners that their wisdom is seen in at least three different ways. First of all, we are impressed with the wisdom of the wise men because of their sayings, what they said. There came wise men from the east saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So that, first of all, there is the wisdom expressed in their sayings. And then there is wisdom expressed in their search, what they searched for and what they found. And then wisdom expressed by their service. Let us look for a short time now at the wisdom expressed in their saying. That's verse 2. They came saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Now, when they said, "Where is he that is born?" Remember now, they were expressing something relative to his humanity. If he was born, then he had a human body, he was a man. So they're expressing something relative to his humanity. But they said, "Where is he that is born king?" Now, if someone is born a king, that person must have royalty. So they're expressing here things relative to his royalty. He is born a king. But they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And expressing the fact that he was the King of the Jews, they relate this, I suggest, to his nationality. But they said, "We are come to worship him." Now, bearing in mind that the teaching of the Old Testament is this, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve," here they express something relative to his deity. So in this simple statement, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him," we are faced with truth relative to his humanity, relative to his royalty, relative to his nationality, and truth relative to his deity. Now, last week when we were studying things pertaining to the person of Christ as found in Matthew chapter 1, we spent a time one day referring to his virgin birth, showing how that he was born of Mary, but was not begotten of Joseph. That was where the change of the word came in the genealogy. That Joseph was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. Now then, here I suggest to you, when they said, "Where is he that is born?" they're expressing things pertaining to his humanity. Now, as to his humanity, he was the son of Mary. But then again, they said, "He is born a king." We pointed out when dealing with the genealogy that right there in the central part of the genealogy, it comes from David to the time when they were carried away into the Babylonish captivity, and that particular section we called the era of the Israelitish monarchy. The monarchy was set up in David. Now, the Gospel according to Matthew, you will remember, commenced with these words, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And throughout this Gospel, he is presented as the son of David. And so when they said, "Where is he that is born king?" that is setting him forth in his royalty. He's a king, and as a king, he is the son of David. Now, later on, during the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he asks a question at those who are opposing him, and he says, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" And the Pharisees said, "Of course, he's the son of David." And the Lord said to them, "If he is the son of David, could you explain why that David uttered these words? The Lord said unto my Lord, how could he be David's Lord and David's son at one and the same time?" They couldn't answer that question, and from that day onwards they wouldn't ask him any more questions. But here you and I, with the Bible in our hand today, completed, and with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, historical facts, we can take our Bible and we can study, and we can see how that he was the son of David, and at the same time, he was David's Lord. He came of the seed of the royal line. He was the seed of David through Mary, of course, the seed of the woman. Now then, if he is the son of David, they say, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. He was king of the Jews. That suggests his nationality. Now the genealogy started off by saying, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. And starting from Isaac, it comes right down to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a man, born of the Virgin, whose name was Mary. Here then we have his nationality. He's the king of the Jews. But they said, we've come to worship him. So therefore they express something relative to his deity. He is the Son of God. Now you will remember that back in chapter 1, it said that all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now then, can you grasp for a moment or two what is involved in this expression of wisdom from the wise men? See how wise they are in the words that they expressed. Where is he that is born? As to his humanity, he's the son of Mary. Where is he that is born king? As to his royalty, he's the son of David. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? As to his nationality, he's the son of Abraham. We're come to worship him. As to his deity, he is the son of God, and he is God the Son. Oh, what tremendous truths expressed in the saying of the wise men. Now, there are certain things involved in these sayings that you and I should grasp today. If you profess to be a Christian, and I believe that most of my listening audience would come in under that category, that you profess to know the Lord. Well now, do you hold tenaciously to the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ? After all, the great mystery and miracle of his birth had to do with his conception. The power of the highest came upon Mary. God's power overshadowed her. And by that power of the highest coming upon her, she was able to conceive, not in the natural way, but in a supernatural way, by the power of God. And she brought forth that Holy One. Now, in connection with the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must hold tenaciously to this, that his humanity was absolutely perfect. He was conceived in holiness. He was born in holiness, that holy thing which shall be born of thee. He lived in perfect holiness. There was not a blemish, not a spot ever found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned, neither in thought, word, or deed. He was holy, absolutely holy, throughout the whole of his lifetime. He could face his opposition right in the face, every one of them, whether they were Sadducees, Pharisees, or Herodians. He could face all those that made up the opposition to him. And he could say, "Now which of you convinceth me of sin? Can any of you lay a charge against me?" None of his foes could ever bring a reasonable charge against him. They couldn't prove one thing against him that he ever did wrong. The verdict of his foes stands in his favor. Even Judas, the man that betrayed him, had to confess this: "I have betrayed the innocent blood." Pilate, who was his judge, washed his hands and said, "I find no fault in him." One of the men that was put to death by his side on Calvary, the dying thief, said, "We indeed receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." All his enemies, his foes, had to admit he was a perfect man. What about his friends? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But what about the verdict of his Father from heaven above? He who could search him through and through and know every thought and intent of his heart, he could rend the heavens and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So whether you take the verdict of his foes, or the verdict of his friends, or the verdict of his Father in high heaven, they add up to this, that he lived a perfect life. He was the perfect man. So he was holy, holy in his birth, absolutely holy in his life, and continued to be holy in his death. For the verdict of the Holy Scriptures is this: "Thou wilt not abandon my soul to hell, nor see or leave thine Holy One to see corruption." So his body never saw corruption because he was absolutely holy. And he was raised again triumphantly out from amongst the dead. Where is he that is born? Christ is set before us then in his words, in his perfect humanity. Here was mystery of all mysteries, that he who was the eternal God should come within the compass of a human body that was prepared for him in the womb of the Virgin. And when the fullness of time was come, he came forth. But they said, "Where is he that is born king?" Now, as king, expressing his royalty, he was the son of David. Now, I pointed out in one of our previous studies that when you come to David, David's line divides. David had more than one son. Most people know, of course, that David had a son called Solomon, perfectly true, but he had other sons. But the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1 traces down through Solomon, who was born of her who had been wife of Uriah the Hittite, that is Bathsheba. And that's the line that occupies the throne until you come to Jehoiakim, where it's cut off. But I emphasized in another study that when you come to the Gospel according to Luke, the genealogy that's given there is not the genealogy that leads to Solomon, but the genealogy that leads to Nathan, his brother, and then to David. So the line divides in David. One line comes through Solomon, the other comes through Nathan. Now, when you come to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he was not the seed of Joseph. He was the woman's seed. He was born of Mary. and he comes through that line that had descended from Nathan. It's Mary's genealogy that's set forth in the Gospel according to Luke. But nevertheless, both Joseph and Mary came from David. So in Matthew's Gospel, the genealogy is given in order to state the legal claim to the throne. But the genealogy that's given in Luke's Gospel states the moral claim to the throne. There had to be a virgin birth. And he has the moral claim because he is still the son of David, coming through the legal line of Joseph. But Joseph married Mary before the birth, and Jesus Christ, who was born, was claimed legally as the son of Joseph. And so therefore he has the legal claim. But he also has the moral claim and does not come under the curse that came upon Jehoiakim, who descended from Solomon. But he was born of Mary, and he was born in absolute holiness. Therefore he has the moral claim to the throne of David. Where is he that is born king? And as long as he lives, he is the rightful claimant to the throne of David. And the day shall come when Jehovah shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. No wonder that Christians still love to sing that grand old hymn, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. And so therefore they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. If he's King of the Jews, that expresses his nationality. He is the son of Abraham. Now, let me remind you, dear people, of something that connects itself here. The son of David is promised the throne, because the prophet said to David, thy throne shall be established forever. Now, how can you have an everlasting throne unless you have an everlasting king? But the throne was promised to David's descendants. But when you come to the promise given to Abraham, what God promised to Abraham was the land. Now the Lord Jesus Christ that was born at Bethlehem, he was the son of David, and in his royalty he is the rightful claimant to the throne. But as to his nationality, he is the true son and the true seed of Abraham, the one in whom it was said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And as to his nationality being the true son of Abraham, he is the heir to the land, and when he comes, he will claim his possession. The land is his. Remember this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so therefore, as the son of Abraham, he's the one who went, as it were, to the altar, of whom Isaac was a figure, and Christ went to Calvary, went through death and rose again. And as the living Lord, he's the claimant to the land. For they said, we're come to worship him. They bowed down and worshipped him in the house. My friend, may I ask you today, as you listen to what I've said, could you say that you have expressed the same wisdom as these wise men? Could you today say, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen a star in the east, and are come to worship him.